Because we've been on the wrong page for so long, which I just admitted to, we've not even been in the right book, okay, but we've definitely been on the wrong page. We finally are on the right page, let's face it. House Republicans overreach, no question.
Senator Bob Corker, Republican from Tennessee, talking about the shutdown woes and blaming his own party, saying we screwed up. And now we're getting closer to fixing it. Day 14 of government shutdown. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. All roads lead to nowhere at this point. So, undoing a sequester, will that break this massive logjam that we're seeing on the spending bill right now and the debt ceiling? October 17th, which is Thursday, is the deadline to push the government's borrowing limit. Talks between the Senate leaders to end the crisis are focusing all over the place. They're shifting that to whether the Republicans are actually going to agree to change the across-the-board cuts. In the middle of all of this, the Statue of Liberty reopened. Woohoo! So if you want to see Lady Liberty, I know a lot of people make plans to do that. It's on a bucket list or two. It was closed, 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 and it was closed for so long because of Sandy, finally reopened and then was closed again. So Governor Cuomo decided we're going to pay for it. If it's 61, 66,000, right in that neighborhood, we're going to pick it up. We're going to pick up the costs because we can't afford the tourism dollars we're losing by shutting down one of the highlights of coming to New York City, for goodness sake. Good for him. He's not the only one. The governor of Arizona got into it and decided, I think the Grand Canyon needs to be reopened, so we're going to figure out a way to pay for it. The Grand Canyon is reopened. Several parks have reopened. A lot of governors doing the same thing that Cuomo's doing, figuring they can't keep pushing tourists away and they don't want to arrest them when they're going to try to make their way to the place that was their destination to begin with. I mean, for goodness sake, if you go to South Dakota and you're going there to see Mount Rushmore, oh, gee, sorry you can't get that close. Sorry you can't get the souvenir picture or the book or whatever else it is. That would really upset me. Same thing with the Grand Canyon. Anything that people are trying to get close to. And we see this with the vets who have marched on D.C. in the middle of this crisis. I thought the signs were pretty clever that some of the people held up that I saw. One of them was simple. The simple thing is, do your job. And that's it. Here's the thing. They're asking everybody else to be thrown into the abyss, which means the taxpayers, because the government is funded primarily through our tax dollars. So why not just not take pay? Democrats, Republicans, a couple of independents, why not just not take any pay until you can get it together and figure out a way to keep the government open? Because this goes back to the same scenario of the budget and not moving mountains to try to work on the budget throughout the year when they have more time to deal with it. I mean, for goodness sake, they have committee after committee to talk about other things. The budget isn't important until the last minute. The debt ceiling isn't important until the last minute. And by not opening the monuments in D.C., especially the World War II Memorial, because you had those honor flights that came in and it was such a snub to those veterans that there was this march as a protest to shutting down the memorials. So you had veterans that were in wheelchairs and they pushed around police barricades and went into the memorial about midday, and some people protested on the White House South Lawn and, you know, tried to make the point that why shouldn't we be able to, since we were coming here, why shouldn't we be able to see the memorial, and then that prompted the veteran march on the memorials. So it goes to that whole thing, home of the free, you know, land of the brave, that kind of stuff. People were yelling out USA, USA. It was a pretty decent-sized crowd, actually. But some coverage for that, and some people that believe that the veterans in all of this really are the ones who are bearing the brunt in some cases. Some services have been closed off. And then what happens with the debt ceiling, the military pay deal, and Social Security? Because eventually it comes to the point where this couldn't go on indefinitely, as we may have money in reserve because we print monopoly money with nothing backing it, so we can always throw out another quantitative easing, which is even scarier. Eventually it does come tumbling down, and it does affect you. And one way it will affect some of you, and I've said this a couple times and I'll say it again, I guarantee that there are many people listening to America Tonight who have 401ks, and good for you, because whatever job you have, maybe you're getting matching money, or some of it's matching or whatever, and that's your little nest egg for when you retire. And can you imagine the costs of health care and everything else that you have to endure when you hit the golden oldies? People are, you know, this is in the 70s and 80s, people are stunned sometimes by the amount of bills that they have, and how do you pluck that money out of thin air? So when the markets are so flexible in when it comes to negative news, and when you constantly hear this about the debt ceiling, it will change the markets because there'll be a massive sell-off. And when there's a massive sell-off, then stocks lose, some of the big, even blue-chip stocks will lose their value. So you do the math, you start to lose the money. Remember 2008, which would be the closest example when, oh, banks too big to fail and all that negative news. And the stock market tanked and people lost 20%, 30% in some cases of money they had saved up, people that were getting close to retirement. So that there's that extra money that they had that they needed to pay for the extra medical care they needed or whatever else it might be when you retire. So make no mistake, in some way, eventually, it touches you. It just depends on what way it touches you. So the bottom line is nothing has shifted really or moved. It's still the dysfunctional government, and that's the biggest problem that we're having. Some say that the Republicans are to blame, and some say the Democrats are to blame because of Obamacare. But wherever you place the blame, it's a moot point in the sense that nothing has emerged or changed. So we go through a weekend, which you and I are paying for, with all these meetings, the meetings that lead to nowhere. Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, of course, we'll talk more about the ins and outs of what's going on with the government. Also, big weekend in the NFL. We would be remiss not to take you there. And we do our cheap movie reviews. I went to see a movie over the weekend. I'll tell you what I thought of it, although it's getting trashed by some people. And we have a couple of great guests coming up that actually want to heap praise on a big box store. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
The National Preppers and Survivalist Expo, presented by Triton Shelter Technologies, is the only national event designated for the prepper community. October 19th and 20th at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Admission is free, and the doors open at 9 a.m. Join us and learn life-saving tips that can help you and your family handle crisis situations. Special guests include Kevin O'Brien from Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers, David Crawford, author of Lights Out, the director and cast members from the movie Lights Out Saga, and more. Special guest speakers include GCN's own Dr. Joel Wallach, along with Dr. Bones, Nurse Amy, and Tom Martin, the director of the American Preppers Network. Two-time Field and Stream champion Chad Weatherford, along with many other leading experts from around the country. Join us for the country's largest emergency preparedness event. Absolutely free. October 19th and 20th at the North Atlanta Trade Center in Atlanta, Georgia. For more information, visit npsexpo.com. That's npsexpo.com.
We're going to high fly ball left field. Going back is the left fielder Gomes. He's looking up, and it is gone. A home run. Towering fly that carries the Green Monster. 2-0 Tigers in the sixth.
We're going to fly ball right field deep. Going back, Victorino. He's looking up, and it's gone. A home run.
The Tigers take a 5-0 lead in the sixth.
Swinging a high knee drive to right field. That one's called to the right. Hunter on the move. Racing back. Zimmer's head. It's gone. It's into the bullpen. This game is tied. This game is tied. David Ortiz. Swinging a line drive. Base hit. Into the field. That's the ball game. The Red Sox have rallied to win game two. They've won it. The Sox have won it 6-5. Jared Sokolovakia with a walk-off base hit. Brand new series in the 2013 ALCS.
I think that's our daily salute. What a game that turned out to be. And as many of you know, as I am passionate about politics or infuriated by politics, I feel the same way about sports. And I was watching the tail end of the Cowboys Washington Redskins game, which of course they blew out the Redskins, and flipping back to the Boston game just in time. And I'll tell you what, David Ortiz, wow, just absolutely amazing. Big Poppy put them to the point where they were down, bases loaded, and he steps in with two outs, first swing, it's out of there. And I'll tell you what, I'm sure you were watching that too, Matt Johnson. We talked about that off the air. Absolutely incredible to see that comeback by Boston. What a game. That's why you never know what's going to happen, because it looked like a blowout and it can change on a dime. And this is why it's like a second season. So the Red Sox beat the Tigers 6-5 in the end. And now that series is really a great series, tied at one apiece.
Yeah, and I mean, It was a great game. You had Scherzer going, what, six innings without giving up a hit.
Scherzer, that's terrible.
And, I mean, it looked the whole way like...
They had it.
But, I mean, the one thing that is the Achilles heel of the Tigers is their bullpen is not up to snuff. And you can get some hits off of them, and that's exactly what happened. And I don't even know. I mean, I don't know what to say because I think both these games, or both the series... It seems like one team has been extremely dominant with pitching, but yet hasn't been able to win all the games. Like, I think the Dodgers and the Tigers have been just dominating the opposing clubs and somehow are finding ways to lose the game.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And pitching and defense, typically you have to have offense, but defense and pitching wins championships. So Scherzer was incredible. A no-hitter into the sixth inning. If you think about that, it's just absolutely amazing. And the fact that the Red Sox couldn't deal with him. And then, as you said so correctly, the bullpen comes in and that's it. And they created some offense and that's all she wrote. And the Red Sox, now, like I said, really make this a big series, and it's been strange to watch the National League, how it's unfolded, and what's happening now with the American League, too. It was a crazy day for the people in Boston, as you see that the Patriots won with, 5 seconds. They ended up winning their game over New Orleans, and we're going to have football highlights at the tail end of this hour, but... it wasn't looking that way either. And in the end, Tom Brady does what Tom Brady sometimes can do and brings them back. And so for people that live there, every once in a while, you have those days where the stars align. And they certainly align for the people in that city who are Patriot fans and Red Sox fans. So we'll see what happens the rest of the way. You know, my pick was the Tigers to win this because I think they are the better pitching team, like Matt said. And my pick on the other side was the Dodgers, but I'm not so sure that holds up. And St. Louis is looking pretty good at this point. And, you know, like I said, that's the second season. Anything can happen. It's much more exciting flipping in and tuning in to watch this postseason baseball than it is to handicap what's going on with the government because the answer is no, no, no. No matter what maneuver is pulled, it's the same thing over and over again. They're in a last-ditch struggle at this point to try to figure out what they're doing. I mean, here we go into day 14 of the shutdown. I mean, this is day 14. And it's interesting to hear the different comments from the various, I'm going to call them talking heads with a title, whether it's Senator Graham, Lindsey Graham, who's saying that, you know, in the end, the Democrats are going to hang themselves, meaning they're screwing this up because of Obamacare, that it's a liability in the end for the Democrats, and we can survive the government shutdown if we're smart, but we're not going to survive Obamacare. And the sooner the shutdown's over, he says, the better for Republicans because he's going to say to the Democrats, you own Obamacare, and it's going to be the political gift that keeps on giving to the Republicans so people will forget any pain that's been inflicted or been written about that's blamed on the Republicans. Then you have Senator Joe Manchin who says, just the shutdown is self-inflicted pain and that the country's in a crisis mode right now and we shouldn't be here. There's no way it's acceptable for this government to be shut down. It's unnecessary and it's put pain on millions of people. And then he chided the Republicans for hinging the appropriations bill on the repeal of Obamacare and said it doesn't have any place on the table. And then what I really liked is he was on Fox with Chris Wallace, and Chris Wallace asked him whether he thought the administration was using the military and the cuts to things like death benefits, which, of course, were restored for families of veterans as a way of putting political pressure on Congress. He was quick with his answer, and he said he didn't think that he could accept that any Democrat or Republican would do that because he didn't sign up for public service to put undue pain on people. And he said that there was a bipartisan coalition working on a solution to the budget standoff, that there was 12, and it was Democrats and Republicans, and he figured that they could probably have something and could come up with some kind of a deal and to see if it would get passed would be another thing, but he felt pretty good about it anyway. So ultimately, all this political sniping, who is it going to hurt in 2014? You know, is it going to hurt the Republicans? Does it hurt the Democrats? But we've got 399 days before voters go to any kind of a ballot box. So I think that it will be an interesting thing to watch play out as it gets closer to that. But at this point, it's the focus is on the shutdown and whether or not we're going to come to the end of this road and it's going to continue on through October, or somehow there is an agreement, which would have to be a temporary agreement. I mean, there's no way any agreement of any long-term, of a long-term deal is reached. Anything that happens would have to be a short-term deal to fund the government anyway. So it would be definitely a big Band-Aid. That's what we're looking at. I mean, without a doubt, this isn't going to be anything more than that because there's no time to do that, for one. So anything of consequence that comes out of it is just a temporary fix to the situation. And that's it. That it means more sitting down and hashing out what should be cut and how do you reach the numbers. And, you know, it's stuff that should have happened before. That's the thing. I mean, if there's these bipartisan committees being formed, why aren't several committees formed? Why don't they meet every single week for at least a couple hours and start to hash out and work out some kind of a budget deal and float it versus waiting till the last second, grandstanding, shutting down the government, holding everybody hostage, and we're having to hear it over and over and over again, and people are sick of it. So we're going to switch gears. Coming up, we're going to actually heap praise on a big company for not taking the bait when it comes to going green at the expense of the people who shop in their stores. I'll explain on the flip side.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified, super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's Fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Tonight, have we had Justin Danhof on, who is the counsel for National Center for Public Policy, talking about this crazy, crazy, crazy RILA stuff, the Retail Industry Leaders Association, and what actually has happened with the green initiatives and things that people don't realize, and what you're ultimately, when you're checking out, paying for in many different ways. So we have Justin Danhof with us, and we also have Dr. Bonner Cohen, who's been on the show as well, senior fellow with the National Center for Public Policy Research, to talk about Home Depot and some good news. You know, it's not, believe it or not, all these companies that that Justin's gone after and we've talked about, sometimes you find a good one in the middle. What is it? The squirrel every once in a while is bound to find a nut. I think my father told me something like that. And so, Justin, tell us what's going on with Home Depot and why you're actually applauding them.
Sure, yeah. The blind squirrel has found a nut in this instance, and it is with Home Depot. So as we've talked about many times before, what we are really looking at is RILA's top-down sustainability initiatives. As we've said, sustainability can drive profitability if it's driven by the free market, right? And we applaud those efforts. So what we've been asking companies essentially is a very basic question. When you promote sustainability, when you look at sustainability in your products, your store design, your packaging, are you focused on profitability as well? when you make these green investments, can you promise us that they're going to have a reasonable return on investment and they're not going to harm your suppliers and your customers? And when we went to the Home Depot meeting, our president, David Ridenour, actually attended. Frank Blake, the CEO of Home Depot, assured us that he would not pursue green initiatives that would harm his company in any way, meaning harm his suppliers or harm his consumers or harm his shareholders. So, hey, we just want to say, you know, thanks, and you're doing the right thing, and we want the people out there to know, because as you know, we haven't been able to get the same out of Walgreens, haven't been able to get the same out of Costco, and so we've been going, and, you know, this is part of our educational campaign, and so good on you, Home Depot.
All right, so Dr. Cohen, you wrote a paper, a great paper that we read. We actually even talked about it, the Retail Industry Leaders Association, RILA, which we've been mentioning here. You called it a cartel that threatens innovation and competitiveness. So for someone who's dug deep on this, you have to feel pretty pumped to actually find a big company, as Justin was just mentioning, not with Walgreens, not with Costco, but here we go with Home Depot. Is it kind of nice to find a CEO that's paying attention to this?
Well, yes, it is, and let's hope that this sets a precedent, because what the CEO of Home Depot has done is said, yes, we are willing to remain members of RILA, but as soon as RILA forces us to change our policies, to change the way we do business, to the extent that this could ultimately be detrimental to the interest of both our customers, our suppliers, and our shareholders, we won't go along. I think the important thing for our listeners to understand is exactly what RILA is up to. Ultimately, it's about rewriting the terms of engagement under which retailers in the United States operate. What you're seeing here is a quiet takeover of the retail sector by green activists who have succeeded in infiltrating and transforming RILA from a traditional trade association into a green cartel. And the criteria by which products will be allowed to be sold in member companies of RILA will not be the usual things, their cost, their competitiveness, their safety, things like that. No. The environmental gatekeepers are going to ensure that these products and technologies and materials are produced in the fashion that they and they alone approve of. And it's one of those things, well, who checks the credentials of those checking the credentials? And what we're seeing here is being slowly but surely put into place. But RILA member companies are being urged ultimately to elect barriers to entry for those businesses that don't play ball. And if you're an entrepreneur somewhere and you have a product and you would like to sell your product in a big box store, even a mid-sized box store someplace, but the value of your product is not going to be determined by the traditional matters. Is it a truly competitive product? But whether it meets some sort of a green standard, you're ultimately completely rewriting the rules under which the retail game is played.
Which would mean, Dr. Cohen, that people that are entrepreneurs, they'd struggle to get to market in some cases, wouldn't they? Because the cost would be so much higher for them, which even if they could do it, it would be passed on to the consumer. Yeah.
They would be astronomical, which is why, by the way, many of the members of RILA have absolutely nothing against this, because they are big name people. Home Depot is a good actor right now. But the same cannot be said for a host of other companies. And after all, if they and their suppliers, big name suppliers, can agree on the rules of the game, then they're going to have a quasi monopoly there, and they're going to have a cartel. And as we found out during the oil embargo 40 years ago, cartels can be very, very dangerous things because you have a relatively small number of people calling the shots, and you have a relatively small number of people enriching themselves by making sure that competitors who don't meet your, in many respects, totally phony standards are kept from competing with you.
Yeah. Justin, one of the CEOs, the CEO of Sears, said that, rejecting any extra regulatory mechanisms of RILA said, and you know this because it's in the paper, that personally I don't like these kinds of solutions. I think America is over-regulated, and boy, that's convenient, isn't it, in one sense. Do you, Justin, do you think that this is, they're just trying to come up with as much spin and as much whatever they can pump out there media-wise so that it keeps the consumers ignorant of what's really happening?
Well, there's that aspect to it, too. But what's really troubling about RILA's push is that they only see one way forward, and that way forward is increased environmental regulation, right? Let me just read you a little quote from their most recent sustainability report. They put out, the last 2 years, they've put out a massive sustainability report that issues some of these voluntary mandates they're trying to push on their member companies. And here it goes. It's a little long, but stick with me. It says, companies will often develop individual or industry voluntary programs to reduce the need for government regulations, right? If a retail company minimizes its waste generation, energy, fuel usage, etc., it will have a competitive advantage when regulations are developed. Think about that. The only way that a retail trade association sees the future going is more regulation. And the regulation is going to come because the industry is already going to have regulated itself. And we saw this with BPA, for instance, the lining that goes into cans. Walmart decided ahead of the game that they were going to ban BPA from all of their canned goods, so any canned goods maker had to get BPA out of the cans. Well, what happened? Now the EPA is coming along, and they're going to decide we're going to ban BPA in all the cans because the industry actually created this self-regulation, and then the government act comes in after the fact, and it gets imposed on everyone because the big guys were able to do it because they have the clout, they have the money. The suppliers have to go by the dictates of the big box retailers. And so if the big box retailers are pushing their initiatives based on sustainability and not true market principles, this is what yields in the end. And it's very discouraging that they're now, you know, the Walmarts and the Targets and the Costcos of the world are now being led by this environmental chimera rather than the markets.
Yeah. Dr. Bonner, if you could blue sky this, what would you like to see happen with what's going on with RILA and the box stores and this environmental sustainability stuff?
Well, I think it's vitally important that people realize that the voluntary standards that Justin referred to, when RILA says it's all going to be voluntary, believe me, there will be nothing voluntary about it. Because ultimately what they're putting into place are certification standards. Products, technologies, and materials must be certified. And if your product is not certified by RILA and its environmental gatekeepers, it will not gain entry into the stores. It's the old question, who certifies the certifiers? Mm-hmm. Well, the certifiers certify themselves. So looking down the road, trying to blue sky this, let's get the example that has been set by the very courageous, we hope, CEO of Home Depot and say, look, this is the way we should go. Because he has the best interests of his customers, his suppliers, and his shareholders in mind. And rather than engage in a really crass form of crony capitalism, a crony capitalism that not just involves suppliers and big box stores, but also involves EPA, which is the ultimate element of corruption here, with government in bed with assorted 800-pound gorillas around the country. If someone will stand up and say, look, we're not going to do this, and can set an example that maybe we can convince other people through programs like this and elsewhere, we get other people and other CEOs to say, no, we're not going to do this.
Yeah, perfect place to end this. Dr. Cohen and Justin Danhoff from the Center for the National Center for Public Policy, rather. Again, thank you so much for coming on America Tonight and shedding some light on this story. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kate.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
So, you've decided to get prepared. You're not sure that a case of ramen and a couple of granola bars under your bed will cut it as long-term food storage anymore. You're in luck. At Emergency Essentials, we have all the resources to get you started. From 3-day emergency bug-out bags to year supplies of food and everything in between. Call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 or visit BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
That's the sound of a .44 Magnum and Traumamax, a high-tech hybrid Kevlar bulletproof vest from InfidelBodyArmor.com. We'll stop it and most pistol rounds. Traumamax is a major breakthrough in pistol-rated body armor, and prices start at just $170 per insert. More protection, more stopping power, more mobility, and it weighs less than 5 pounds. Get details at InfidelBodyArmor.com. That's I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com.
Pulls back again. He is going deep, and it is caught for a touchdown! All the way in the end zone is DeSean Jackson! And Riley Cooper did it again with the bomb! Nick Foles? Well, that time it was Nick Foles to DeSean Jackson, but I'll tell you something. What a throw!
Stafford's going to throw, 148 again! He got him again! Making a triple for the rookie! Third touchdown of the day!
All he does is make plays, huh?
All he does is make plays, is right. How about that?
Rodgers under center. Hand off to Lacy to the left side of the line. Taking the hand off to Lacy. Rodgers winds up. Rainbow to the middle. No, yes! He's done it! At the 10 to the 5! A touchdown, Green Bay! 64 yards on a gorgeous play fake by Aaron Rodgers. And they beat Ladarius Webb over the top. The Packers lead it 15-3.
The snap to Rocca, the kick's away, it's high. Harris drifting back at the 15, 13-yard line. Coming back, 20, got the edge. 30, 35, make the right, make the left. 50, Harris turns on the dead. Babe Rosenberg said return it. Dwayne Harris returned it. Touchdown, Dwayne Harris.
Keyshawn Martin fields it, brings it out over the 5-10, and he spun down, fumbles the football, and it's picked up by the Rams, and they take it in for the score. Oh my goodness! Darren Bates recovers the fumble and takes it into the end zone as disaster strikes again for the Texans.
Play action, Roethlisberger drops back, up the right seam, he's got Sanders wide open at the 20, at the 10, 5, touchdown, he leaps into the end zone, a 55-yard touchdown as the Jets bought the play action fake. And with 12 and a half minutes to go in the third quarter, the Steelers extend their lead.
Cam Newton stands in the pocket. Oh, he's got LaFell wide open. Caught 45. He's across midfield. Down the near sideline. May take it to the house. It's a foot race. 10-5. Touchdown. Carolina Panthers. 88 yards.
Colley and Tompkins left. Ready. Throws it to the end zone for Kendrell Tompkins. Leaping.
He got it. Touchdown. He created it.
Kendrell Perkins.
Brady's back.
Oh, yeah. What a week. Week six in the NFL. And I love that. Brady's back, because that was a huge moment. New England beating New Orleans 30-27. But there were a lot of big moments, I think, this week. Every week I say that, and every week it's the same thing. There were some shoulda, woulda, couldas, and then there were some close moments. Cincinnati in overtime beating Buffalo, and there was an amazing story there to be told, because what was going on with Buffalo in the first place that they would have made it that interesting. When I first was looking at the score, it looked like Cincinnati was cruising and that it was going to be an easy deal for them, and certainly it was anything but that. And they weren't the only ones in this situation. There were a couple of other teams that found themselves where, you know, like the Bills, they're young, they're trying to rebuild, they're trying to be competitive. All of their losses, or four of their losses anyway, have been decided by 25 points combined. So that tells you something. They've lost a lot of really, really close games. And maybe it's because I have a few friends that live in Buffalo, and they're always telling me, you just wait to see what's going to happen. But they could have pulled it off, but they didn't pull it off in the end. And That was kind of the tale of some of the different teams this week. Another team that was like that, Green Bay and Baltimore. What is going on with Baltimore? Green Bay gave them plenty of chances to capitalize, and they could not do it. And this was on their home turf, and the Packers prevailed 19-17. And I can't tell you how many times the Ravens, I was watching that game, hadn't had opportunities to even blow it open, and they could not make the plays. It was from the get-go, they just seemed off balance, and actually so did Green Bay in a way. Green Bay was up 9-0 in the third quarter. Then there was a 50-yard field goal that, it was just the craziest thing, and Baltimore comes back with a 23-yard field goal, and Flacco had to settle for that after he had just made a huge strike before that, almost a 60-yard completion. But at least they got to that point. So they started to try to play with urgency, but they just didn't have the flow. Did you notice, Matt, because I know you were obviously watching this, great job on the highlights, that some teams are starting to really get in a flow and some just don't have a flow, don't have a rhythm?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the the phase one of cutting teams from the playoff picture. And, I mean, the Giants, Jaguars,
they're
Vikings, they're all out.
Yep.
And you got a couple other teams that are probably out, too, if I were to look at the actual standings. And, I mean, you have Kansas City and Denver are still undefeated in the same division. The Patriots are 5-1. The AFC is looking pretty tough. NFC-wise, I mean...
Oh, terrible.
NFC East is...
brutal.
Pretty bad. I mean, the East and the Central are pretty bad, too. I mean, you got Green Bay, but I don't even think Green Bay's all that good. And after that, there's not much. And, I mean, the Saints, pretty decent. But I don't know. Atlanta's gone in the tank. Carolina's not that great. I mean, there are not a lot of good teams in the NFC right now.
There aren't a lot of good teams. It's funny you say that. That's so true. I mean, you bring up the NFC East, and you said the Giants are definitely out of it. They're 0-6. Washington now falls to 1-4. Philadelphia and Dallas are tied. And what are they tied with? Their record of 3-3. That's crazy. Barely. They're 500, exactly. And, you look at the rest of the NFC, and it's horrendous. You look at the South. Tampa's 0-5. Atlanta, you mentioned Atlanta, 1-4. Carolina's 2-3. New Orleans is 5-1. Minnesota, you said, is out of it. You're right, 1-4. That's their record. Green Bay is 3-2, but they're they're in third place behind Chicago and Detroit with 4-2 records. It's nutty. And really, the superior teams are coming from the AFC almost across the board.
You got Seattle, but that's about it. And Seattle looks like a completely different team on the road than they do at home.
They do.
And even so, I mean, today, Seattle did not play that fantastic of a game.
Uh-uh. Nope, and they're 5-1. But, yeah, absolutely. And then you see, you know, probably, I mean, there's no doubt that, to me, the, of course, the best team, although they didn't play, they didn't look so great, but Denver at 6-0 going into Indianapolis. Indianapolis is 4-1, and they lead the AFC South. That's going to be kind of an interesting game because of the themes, and they're already playing this up for NBC's Sunday night game. But Peyton Manning going back to Indy after he was so emotional when he left in March of last year. So that'll be an interesting one. But it's a very strange season. It feels strange to me because some of the normal predictions you could make on paper are not coming true at all.
And next Monday night, you're going to have probably one of the lowest-rated Monday night football games in history. It's going to be the 1-5 Vikings against the 0-6 Giants.
Well, here's the big one. Who wins that battle?
I mean, I have no idea. I think.
Who would you pick?
As far as the Vikings go, I mean, I haven't watched a ton of the Giants. I know Eli Manning's struggling, but there's obviously many other problems besides just him if you're 0-6. And on the Vikings side, they're going to start Josh Freeman next week. I think they absolutely have to because there's no reason to start Matt Castle again, and you have to give this fan base something to at least, I don't know, hang its hat on and take a little look at Josh Freeman and see what he's doing. So I think he's going to get the start. Maybe that gives the squad a little boost. I don't know, but, I mean, I thought there was no possible way. I've done this twice this year, which is my dumb mistake, but I thought there was no way that we'd lose to Cleveland at home, and I thought there was no way we were going to lose to Carolina at home, and both times we got destroyed.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I'm in a football pool, and I picked Minnesota both of those times, and I was so, so wrong about that. And, you'd think they'd pull it out against the Giants, yeah, but who knows?
They had the good win over in London. You had the bye week. How do you come home against the Carolina squad that's not really all that good and have been struggling themselves? They're kind of hot and cold. They had like one really good game and then two bad ones. And you just throw up a horrible effort in front of your home crowd after a bye week. I just cannot understand that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then, of course, there was more made about Adrian Peterson's son dying, his two-year-old son. But as you said to me before we went on the air, hey, this is a son that he only met when he was on life support, not to take anything away from that. But this was the biggest theme that was running all over all the pregame shows, and they didn't explain any of that. They just said his son died, and it was terrible the way they said it. It didn't even tell the whole story, but that was the story everybody was thinking about with the Minnesota Vikings, and then they come up with the loss. It's crazy. It's a very strange week in the NFL. Don't forget, you can nail the score. We do that on our Wednesday into Thursday show. Last two segments in our third hour. If you nail the score, you correctly nail the score of the game of the week, you clean out our prize closet. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig a long time ago. LeSig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LeSig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LeSig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.